This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This podcast is part of the 76ers Podcast Network.
Search 76ers Insiders wherever you get your podcasts.
Fans, everybody from Philadelphia, 76ers, the beat.
Welcome back, everybody, to another technically still post-Sixers win reaction. We haven't talked to you guys since the Sixers got the brooms out in Brooklyn, finished the sweep, went 4-0 against the Brooklyn Nets in the postseason, happened to go 4-0 against the Brooklyn Nets in the regular season as well, for a cumulative 8-0 against the Brooklyn Nets. Already looking to round two, getting some time off for some well-deserved rest, much needed rest if you're some of the 76ers. Matt Murphy, Kate Scott, I'm so excited to talk to you guys about it. How are we on this fine Monday?
Great, Lauren. We got Kate Scott with us again. Second Spaces appearance. We're so thrilled. This is great. A sweep, first one since 85 against the Nets in round one. We can talk about that. We can look ahead. But most importantly, just chatting with our friend Kate. It's going to be a lot of fun. Kate, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me, you two, and everybody who's tuning in this morning. And I promise not to take over the conversation this time. You guys know that's just the natural spot for me, but I promise to listen and just answer questions this time around.
But here's the thing. We kind of want you to, so you don't really have a choice. We want to hear from you. We are going to ask you questions, and I think we'll start with this because we saw your video, your end of season video, not that your season's done. You'll be reporting from the future rounds of the playoffs as well, but the local broadcast in the books, and you sent out that selfie video through the rain, weather conditions aside.
Yep.
And it was year two for you, and it was the first one with full travel. So yeah. As you definitely need more time to think about it, but yeah. In your instant reaction, how was this second season for you as the TV play-by-play voice of the Philadelphia 76ers?
Yeah, my instant reaction was, Matt, why couldn't the hail/rainstorm have held off for like 10 more minutes, right, Miss Rosen? When we got back.
It was comical because we were on the bus back from Brooklyn. For those that don't know, a lot of times the team takes the train into the city because they stay in Manhattan. But anytime we're coming or going from Brooklyn, we'll take a bus. It's more efficient. You hop on the bus, you drive back to Philly. We were on the bus, though, for over 2 hours with no rain. And as soon as the door opens on the bus, torrential downpour, like on cue. So sorry, Kate, please continue your thought. But it really was an act of God. It was
thank you, because it was hilarious, truly, as the doors opened. But anybody who's gotten married and knows that rain is usually a great thing on that day. So I took it as a great sign for the rest of the postseason to come, and was laughing, obviously, the whole way. But Matt, just to get back to answering your question, it's too early to process everything, but feeling similar to how I was at the end of last year, but obviously much more settled this year. So grateful to be a part of this phenomenal franchise. So happy and truly loving being here in Philly and meeting Sixers fans all over the country this year as a result of getting to travel for the first time. I thought personally as a broadcaster, I took a number of great steps in the right direction. I feel like we all kind of got to know each other a little bit better, the three of us, everybody else in the organization, all of you fans listening this morning. And I'm so excited, even though I hope it takes a long time to get there to year three, because I hope we're still playing basketball for a couple more months here in 2023. But just really excited about year three, because I feel like we're just going to take it to another level next year. Talk to Ian Eagle, obviously the voice of the Brooklyn Nets and calls games for TNT. And he said, you know, year three was really when I felt like I took that next step, because the first year is just wild. You're moving, you're taking over for a legend most of the time. You're trying to find your own voice. Year two, okay, you're trying to get all the ins and outs of what it's like to travel with an NBA team, the grind of and the pace of the NBA season. And then year three is when you really just get to focus on, okay, now I'm just going to focus on being the best broadcaster I can. And I feel that. So it was interesting that he told me that a couple weeks ago. But long story long, Matt, just loving being here, as I'm sure you can tell from that video. I'm pinching myself every day, and I'm really excited about what this team may do over the next couple of months.
A great year two, and I know we're all going to give our series takeaways from the first round and talk more in depth about the team here when Lauren's going to jump back in on that side. But I wanted to jump back in with a quick story about how easy you make all of this look. The preparation process for announcers is not easy, and my story is a personal one. I get the call to fill in on the radio side, and it's hustle bustle and getting all the materials organized. And for you, I tweeted about how helpful you and Ala were and Tom McGinnis during a trip in March. But for anyone who didn't hear about this or see my tweet, to take it a step further, Kate was making sure that I had everything I needed in a way that is not to be expected in this industry. And that's how good of a teammate she is. She makes her job and performance look so easy, but behind the scenes, there's a lot that goes into it. But she made sure that I had everything I needed, to the point where, look, I'm the guy coming in, filling in. It should be on me to go down to the lobby and print things and all that. But here I am having Kate Scott sliding notes under my hotel room door to make sure I was ready to go on the radio. And that's just how good of a teammate you are, Kate. So I wanted to share that story because I'm so thankful for how much of a mentor you've been to myself and to Lauren, and how good of a teammate you've been as we continue to cover this great Sixers team.
Oh, well, that's what it's all about, Maddie. I'm so proud of how far you've come. I'm so glad you got to call a couple more NBA games this season, because, you know, I've told you privately, and Lauren knows this as well, I was you not that long ago, and I had a lot of people purposely not help me. And I had a few people help me, and those moments stayed with me. So as I've told you, I'm going to do everything I can to lift up as many people as I can on this crazy journey. So I'm proud of you, kid. Keep going. Let's talk Sixers Celtics now, huh?
I was going to say, in the interest of keeping this one moving, I am going to hold myself back from talking about all the ways that Kate has helped me this season.
Okay, yeah,
court,
nobody cares. Nobody
court,
cares.
On the road, at home. But just know that, like, everything that Kate, all the positive things that you read or see about Kate Scott, they're all true, plus much more. Now, let's let her get back where she's more comfortable and stop waxing poetic
Thank
about
you.
How great she is, even though it's true, and talk about the Philadelphia 76ers, who brought the brooms out. They got the job done, 4-0 against the Brooklyn Nets, and earned themselves now this week off that we're filling time in between, starting with this episode of Twitter Spaces if you're listening live, 76ers Insiders Podcast if you're listening posthumously. But let's talk some stats, and then Kate, what I want to hear from you is your takeaways from round one. Matt, I want to hear yours as well. But just to give sort of a holistic look at what went down, of course, the Sixers more fully loaded in games 1 through 3, had to play game 4 without Joel Embiid. I see comments asking about Joel Embiid's status. We do not have that yet. We will, of course, bring it to you when we do, but great to see the Sixers have a variety of folks step up, step in big time. It's really every playoff game, and there's so many cliches around the playoffs, you guys know better than I do probably, but you hear the guys say something to the effect of each game is the hardest game. Every next game that you earn becomes harder than the one before. And I think game four really exemplified how hard it is to win a game, but how good you have to be and how much can be done when you really dial in the way that they did in the second half of game four. When you look cumulatively at the four games thus far, Tyrese Maxey, the team's leading scorer in these playoffs so far, he's averaging 21.8 points per game, but it has been a total crew effort. Joel Embiid leading the way in rebounding, 11.3 rebounds per game. James Harden, of course, the regular season assist leader in the NBA, continues to lead the Sixers in assists, 8.8 assists per game, and he's third in the postseason among all postseason players in assists per game. PJ Tucker has come out so big. And again, I just wanted to make sure that a few people got shout outs here. PJ leading the team in steals as the postseason gets underway, 1.8 steals per game. And with PJ, as we know, more on this in a bit, the stats never tell the full story. Tobias Harris also averaging over 20 points a game in the playoffs as we get going. Joel averaging 20 points a game in the playoffs as they get going. So a total team effort, honestly, when you look at all four games, different guys had to step up each time. That's what stood out to me. Kate Scott, when you look at this series holistically, what are you taking away and into round two?
Yeah, that's a fantastic transition. It's almost like you knew what I was going to talk about, Miss Rosen. But I think when it comes to the postseason, there's a number of things that I pay attention to when I think about if a team is going to be able to be successful long-term in the postseason, and winning in a variety of ways where you left off is one of the top things, because it's obviously not war in a literal sense, but in a sports sense, the intensity and physicality and mental focus of a postseason game versus a regular season game is just on another level. And that is exhausting as a result, both mentally and physically. So it was wonderful, as you mentioned, to see James Harden lead the way in game one. It was great to see Tyrese then take the baton and go off for 33 in game two. It was great to see the ugly, brutal, awful game three ejections that were unexpected, and still the Sixers found a way because of the resiliency, their togetherness. And then in game four, it was great to see no Joel. And obviously we don't want that to continue throughout the postseason, but I thought James called another great game, as Doc likes to call him, kind of the catcher. Said he had a perfect game in the opener, but I thought James was fantastic in helping Tobias then take over in game four. So I thought the winning in a variety of ways was huge. I thought the work on the glass was spectacular, because we know that that has been a talking point, because the Sixers haven't been as good as they have wanted to be and a lot of us have wanted them to be, and that was a huge deciding factor, I think. And then when it comes to things you need to continue being successful, confidence and rest are huge. So I thought the fact that Tyrese and Tobias got going in this first round, and thus I'm going to assume their confidence is going to be very high going into the second round, that's massive. And then just the rest, because of the fact that what I said at the beginning, the exhaustion of just an individual game, let alone a series in the playoffs, is to another level. So the fact that our guys were the first team to play and the first team to stop playing because they got their work done so quickly, that's massive for everybody who is healthy. And then obviously it's huge because Joel's coming back from a sprained right knee. So I don't think the first round could have gone much better, Lauren. And I'm just really proud of the guys, because it was, as Matt said, first seven game sweep since 85, first sweep since 1991. Like, it is not easy to sweep anyone, regardless of the talent differential in the playoffs. So I thought the guys were spectacular in the first round.
Yeah, Kate, you mentioned that earned rest. And for those that have sort of discussed, okay, is rest bad? Could rest lead to rust? Are the guys going to be as intense when they come back after not having played for a week? Remember the play-in tournament. They had a week off, and some of them had more than a week off, not playing those final games on April 7th and April 9th of the regular season. And they came out looking really good in game one, perhaps the best holistic effort from the group all series long. So we know based on very recent experience that this week off could be an extremely good experience for the 76ers. They'll return to practice tomorrow. But Matt, before we talk about that, I want to hear your takeaways from what the Sixers can take from round one and into round two.
Kate mentioned James Harden calling perfect games and the baseball analogies. The other one that came out of the first round was throwing strikes into the shooting pocket for shooters, which I also really love that Sixers head coach Doc Rivers talked about. So a couple different baseball analogies in round one. Kate also touched on the offensive rebounding effort, which brings me to the first of the playoff P's and Paul Reed, because 2 years ago around this time in the spring, he was in the G League bubble playing a condensed 15-game season, and now he was filling in for Joel Embiid, who was out as a starter in the NBA playoffs. And that's what player development is all about. This is one of the last picks of the 2020 draft who is starting a playoff game and recording a double-double for the Sixers. So, of course, I often talk about Paul Reed, but he was in the starting lineup, so it's even more well-deserved for that shout-out. And he was crucial in their offensive rebounding efforts. 8 of those rebounds of the career-high 15 came on the offensive glass in the clinching Game 4 victory, and they recorded 58 more second-chance points in the series, and B-Ball Paul had a lot to do with that. But I know there's another guy whose name starts with P, Lauren, that had a major impact on the series and will continue to do so going forward.
Yeah, PJ Tucker, who called Paul Reed the X factor following Game 4, has, PJ does, a sterling playoff reputation for what extra he can bring to a playoff game, to a clinch game, to an elimination game. From years and years of experience, the NBA champion from just a couple years ago, now a 76er, and for me, a massive takeaway out of round one. All season long, there was some criticism of PJ, and there was some question marks surrounding PJ, what he'd be able to do at this phase of his career in the playoffs, and I think that he erased any doubt that anyone might have in round one. Look at game one, the way he spoke to Paul Reed. The guys talked about it in the locker room post-game. We were told that PJ had some strong words, some choice words perhaps for Paul Reed at halftime of game one. And then sure enough, though, Paul Reed not afraid to respond to the pressure put on him by the veteran and goes out and has that amazing third quarter performance, helping the Sixers get over the hump once. And then we're told that PJ had a similar conversation with Paul at halftime of game four, which ultimately became the clinch game, and Paul ends up grabbing his career high in rebounds and putting together that double-double that Matt mentioned. And it's not just PJ's influence on Paul. It's his influence on a guy like Tyrese Maxey, who said after game four that everything that we see from PJ on the floor is impressive, but what's more impressive are those conversations he's having with players one-on-one, that he's having in huddles. Doc Rivers even said that PJ took over a huddle in game four and made it his own. And credit to Doc for backing off and letting PJ coach the group in what would end up being a pretty pivotal huddle for the 76ers down the stretch in game four. So just my last thought on PJ is about Tyrese Maxey. And Tyrese said something that really stuck with me. He talked about PJ's comfort level pulling aside young guys. Ooh, I hear Piper. Hi, Piper.
She's agreeing with you. Keep going.
Piping up.
Tyrese Maxey talked about PJ Tucker postgame and said that PJ is really comfortable pulling the young guys aside and telling them what he sees and telling them how they can improve, the likes of Paul Reed, the likes of Tyrese Maxey. But Tyrese also slid in the fact that he's also pulling aside James Harden and he's pulling aside Joel Embiid, guys that are perhaps contributing more numerically, and a former MVP and a future MVP that are both in turn listening to what PJ has to say as well. So it's been really clear on and off the floor that PJ's impact is permeating every little corner of this locker room. His fingerprints are all over all four wins, and I'm so thrilled to have him on our side, guys.
Yeah, Miss Rosen, I mean, just going off of that, PJ has a ring. Nobody else does when it comes to the players on this team. And he played with James for a long time. He has James' respect. He has Joel's respect. And when you have that level of just attention and respect from the two superstars on a team, it's a trickle-down effect. So all the young guys are thinking, wow, man, this dude has been to the mountaintop. And it wasn't easy for PJ. I think that's another thing that's important to point out. PJ wasn't a superstar like James or Joel coming out of college. Like, I still remember walking with him when we were in Milwaukee a couple of weeks ago. And it was a pretty chilly morning. We're walking back from shoot around to the bus. And I said, was Milwaukee the coldest place you ever played? And he goes, no, Ukraine. And like, PJ played overseas for 5 years before getting a chance to come back to the NBA because he was drafted and then couldn't find a spot, had to go over to Europe. He played in Israel, Ukraine. So like, he has the respect of everybody for so many different reasons. And that's why the Sixers went out and got him this offseason. That's why it's taken a while to get to this point, because he was having to feel things out, right? He knew what he was worth and what he could bring. But like any smart person who comes to a new organization, you got to find out where you fit. So the first couple of months of the season, he was trying to find the fit. So I'm so glad you bring up those stories, because yes, what he does on the court, as we saw in the first round, is so impressive. And it just, it means more in the playoffs. His one offensive rebound that people may scoff at in a game in the regular season is the difference in a postseason game. But then it's the stuff he's doing behind the scenes, getting Paul Reed and Tyrese to have the great games they did in the first round. So I'm still blown away by the fact that after the Sixers got knocked out by PJ in the Heat last year, and Joel says, we need someone like a PJ Tucker, that we actually went out and got the PJ Tucker. Still blown away by that. And just so happy that he's here and that people are now seeing what a big part of a potential championship team he could be.
Yeah, Kate, no off-brand PJ Tuckers for this team. We got the name brand.
We went out to get the PJ Tucker.
As we sort of turn our heads to what's ahead for the 76ers, they await the winner of the Celtics-Hawks series that is ongoing. The Celtics appear to have taken not a stranglehold necessarily of the series as of last night, but they are 3-1 against the Hawks in the first four games. If you watched last night, it was an exciting one. And we do also know that the series that is ahead will either start, if the Celtics are able to finish this series on Tuesday, the Eastern Conference semifinals will start on Saturday in Boston. So the Sixers lose their home court advantage, the Celtics gain one, and they'll play games one and two in Boston. If Atlanta is able to pull this one out, game one won't take place until Monday of next week, so a week from today. And that, of course, would be in Philadelphia. So, Kate, as you look around the league, not necessarily at that series specifically or at that series specifically, what are you watching for this week? What are you looking forward to? The games have been elite, of course.
Yeah.
But I'd love to hear your thoughts on the road ahead.
Yeah. Well, just the next couple of days, I'm hoping that the Heat continue to punish Milwaukee. I hope that first round series goes seven games. I don't care who comes out of it, but that's one of the things you want. That's why I talked about it being so important that the Sixers got their work done in four games and now they get this rest. And I want everybody else in the East, in the West, I want them to play for as long as they possibly can. get as beat up, get as exhausted as they possibly can. And then also, I'm just enjoying the fun basketball. I mean, I'm obviously keeping an eye on the Warriors and Kings out in the Bay, because that's where I was before I came here. And that is just a knockdown, drag-out slugfest. And that's what postseason basketball should be. So that's been awesome. And then when it comes to Sixers and the team that I expect them to face in the next round, I'm of the mind that Boston, since we're going back to Boston, that the Celtics will close it out in five. And then just look into what the next round could be. And obviously we'll get more into that if and when that happens. But was just breaking down the four games they played in the regular season this year. And I know that it's easy on the surface to say, oh man, the Celtics were the one team that really had the Sixers number 3-1. But here's what I'm doing. I'm throwing out the first one because it was at the very beginning of the season. And going off of what we just talked about with PJ, the Sixers were figuring things out. PJ, DeAnthony Melton, two huge pieces of the reason the Sixers are where they are right now. It was their first time in Philly. And so I'm giving that one. I'm just scratching that off because the Celtics made the finals. They had so much more going for them. Then the second game, I'm actually scratching that one off too, because the Celtics didn't have anyone. They were playing with a really un-Celtics-like squad. And Jason Tatum knocked out Jaylen Brown in the second quarter, and it was just, it was a mess. So the two that I'm counting are the last two games, and the Sixers and Celtics split those two games because I think they're two incredibly talented, incredibly evenly matched teams. I think that they're the two best teams in the NBA this year. And I think whoever potentially wins that series could potentially win the NBA championship this year. So I'm looking at the fact that it took a Jason Tatum running three-pointer just before the buzzer and Joel Embiid letting a three-quarters court three go just a second after the buzzer as the difference that one. And then I'm looking at the fact that Joel went off for a 50-piece in helping the Sixers get their one win over the Celtics during the regular season. So I think you guys can probably sense my excitement already. I'm trying to stay patient because I don't want it to start yet because I want the Sixers to have the rest this week, but I'm getting pretty fired up about what this potential Eastern Conference semis could look like.
I love it. Wrapping up with Kate Scott, our friend Winona is here, of course. Thanks as always, Winona. Winona said that PJ Tucker's voice and tenacity are invaluable to us. Jack had a comment that said, the only thing I have to say is, all caps, we season, 2 exclamation points. That makes me think of the Doc Rivers quote after game 4. We've got a bunch of guys that aren't scared of the fight. They actually go towards it. Loved that one from Doc Rivers. And then Kate, Solly had a couple of questions that you touched on year 2 as the Sixers TV announcer, but I just wanted to get these in and see if you had any extra thoughts. Solly said, Kate mentioned how she tried to find her voice after replacing a legend, wondering if she's ever spoken to Mark for any advice and what he said. And then also, congrats on killing it for 2 years straight. What has been your favorite moment these past 2 seasons? I know you could elaborate on either or both of those if we had more time, but yeah. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Gosh, well, thank you, first of all, for the compliment. And yes, I've been in touch with Zoo since before I got here. He has been wonderful. He's been in phenomenal support. I was just on his podcast recently, so feel free to listen to that if you'd like. But yes, he's been a huge support of mine. And he's another reason that I wouldn't be loving this place and feeling as confident as I am, because he's been a big support behind the scenes. And then favorite moments. I mean, 2 jump to mind just because they're a couple of my favorite calls. But last year, Tyrese Maxey with the shorthanded Sixers, beating Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies on Broad Street. That was a super fun game. And then the Joel turnaround, last second shot to beat the Blazers here on Broad Street a couple of months ago. Just because as a broadcaster, you always hope to get to be a small part of a big moment, either for an individual or for a team or for a franchise. So those are a couple of my favorites so far. And looking forward to a lot more to come.
Kate Scott, you are going to be a small part, or perhaps maybe even a medium or large part of some big moments as the season, of course, continues. Kate will be a reporter for NBCSP as the postseason continues. Matt and I will also be reporting as the postseason continues. So stay with us for as long as you guys want to. The Sixers, of course, will be back either on Saturday or Monday. We will keep you posted there. You can keep yourselves posted there again if the Celtics close it out. It'll be Saturday. If the Hawks happen to make a comeback, it'll be Monday. But either way, we'll hope to be back with you guys as many times as we possibly can, leading up to perhaps a parade down Broad Street. So, Matt Murphy, thank you as always. Kate Scott, thank you as always. If you're not already subscribed to the 76ers Insiders podcast feed, please make sure that you are doing so now. There are some great one-on-one conversations with a lot of the guys that really ended up emerging in the first round of the playoffs. If you want to get to know them a little bit better, there's tons of content there on the 76ers Insiders podcast feed. Matt, Kate, anything else to plug before we head out of this one?
No, Lauren, thank you so much for running point on this. And Kate Scott, thanks so much for joining us for the second time. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, and the pleasure was all mine. You two, appreciate you both. Let's go Sixers, baby. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
We'll talk soon. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper, wear it like no one else.